I alone am nothing. I like this line from the Tao Te Ching, which I think is how you say it. And would you like to hear this idea explored with me in day 149 of Happier People podcast? The Tao Te Ching says, I alone am nothing. Of course, my mind wants to argue with that. Like, no, that's not true. I am something alone. What I find today is that it's impossible to even define who I am without using other people or things other people have created. I am so completely immersed in other people that the idea of being alone without any of their influence or who they are doesn't even exist. I can't ever really be alone. For example, when I try and say, who am I? I'm Jerry. Well, what is Jerry? Jerry's a name that was given to me by my parents and then a nickname I assumed in childhood. Even my name is issued to me and upheld by other people. If there's no one else around to tell who this body's name is, then does it really have a name anymore? If there's no need for a name when you don't have to reference other people, if you're the only body around, a name becomes irrelevant. Even just in a name is all a function of interacting with other people. We only even need names because there's so many of us. We only need IDs because there are so many of us. I alone am nothing because I define this body as a husband, a father, a friend, a family member, a coworker, a teacher, a YouTuber, musician. All the things this body does relate to other people. Sure, you can take one particular role away or another. The body is this, whatever you call me, is still defined completely in connections with others. As a husband, that requires me and a wife. As a father, it requires me and a child. As a friend, it requires me and another friend. If you strip away all of these relationships, I alone am nothing. There's no way to even define who I am. You might think, well, okay, I'm a gamer. You're a musician. You don't need anyone else to be a musician, right? You can be a musician even if you're the only one that listens to your own music. Yes. However, I'm still dependent on other people's creations. To play music, I have to use a software created by a bunch of other people. I would not be able to be a musician without all the things created by other people. The things other people have made allow me to be a musician. What if you were just alone on the earth? You were all by yourself. You had the whole earth and no one had made anything. Well, someone or something still would have had to provide the earth. You see, if it's just me alone and everything I do and I've done, I'm as helpless as an infant in a crib. I can't do anything. And that's probably pretty realistic of the way I've lived. I'd have a struggle if all the other people just went away, that's not the same as being alone. What I hope this shows is that our lives are a function of our connections with others. Our entire lives are set up in relationship to others. And we think things like we suffer alone. We think we're alone when, for example, I could say that I'm alone in this house right now. No other person is in this house. My dogs are in this house, but am I alone when my dogs are around? Even dogs set up this separate relationship between I am the human, I'm a dog owner. Even with animals, you're not really alone because there's still some kind of relationship. Why do I share this with you? I find it's really helpful to understand my essential function, my essential connection with not only all other people, but with all other living things, in the sense of who I am is inseparable from the totality. Where I've had the most pain in my life is when I've felt all alone. And feeling all alone is an illusion. I mean, in some sense, you might argue that there is only God, and therefore God's really alone. But how alone are you when you can create a whole universe over and over again. So, sure, you could go at it from that angle, but let's stick with each of us as we think of ourselves and our bodies and our lives here. None of us can really be alone. Anymore, you wouldn't look out at an ant and take some ant and put it in isolation and say it's alone. You would know that everything it's trying to do is a part of trying to serve the collective. Even if it has temporarily been separated from the rest of the ants, you would figure everything it's doing is to try and get back to the anthill. Even if you've stuck it in a little box somewhere and put it off by itself, you'd figure everything it's doing is an attempt to go back and serve its collective. This is helpful to remember in all different aspects of life, especially things like money. I alone am nothing. My ability alone to make money is nothing. My ability to make any money is completely dependent on other people. If I want customers, I alone am nothing. I have to build relationships with my customers. And this is why business is so frustrating today, because lots of people and companies aren't interested in building relationships. They just want to use you as a means to an end. And we as customers just want to use them as a means to an end. We don't want to build a relationship with them either. Give me what I want and don't get in my way. With things like relationships, I alone am nothing is what we feel is so painful when we're sitting there single or don't know what's going to happen with our relationship or missing our partner or wondering if we're ever going to find a partner. We feel like we're alone and we're nothing. And we feel that we have to have this romantic relationship to define the rest of us, because the way we've structured our lives, so many of our basic human needs are provided by an intimate relationship, which if you look at it, it's pretty ridiculous in the sense that a romantic relationship really has a very few limited areas it needs to provide. In terms of, I would think monogamy would be one of those things, so sexual needs. And therefore, to have children and to have a family together. However, a lot of the things we tie up into a romantic relationship are often things that other people could provide. Things like love, understanding, compassion, and even things like physical touch. You can go get a massage somewhere else or give anyone who's open to it a hug. A lot of us have a lot of demands for and needs for intimacy, which most other human beings are capable of providing, but we wrap it all up that we can only tell this partner our whole life story, and they alone can know who I am because I'm such an awful or broken person or whatever the mind's rationalization that my partner, or it could be a best friend. We often isolate ourselves. We don't think of all other people as being able to fulfill our needs, and that makes it easy to get scared. My wife's going on a out-of-town trip today, and it'll just be me and my daughter, and my mind's like, what if something happens to her? What are you going to do? And I don't know. What I do know is the world, I'm alone, I'm nothing. The world is filled with other people who are loving, kind, and possess all the same qualities that I like in myself and my wife and my daughter. The world is full of people like that. When I see that I alone am nothing, I get a high regard, respect, and love for my fellow human beings because I see that us are critical to this body's identity. Who I am is inseparable from the other people in my life. This motivates me to act as best I can with each person I come across. Do I succeed all the time? No. I was just telling a friend and family member how they ought to live their life last night. They're sick and frustrated and in pain, and it hurts to have your friends and family be in pain because you're not separate. We don't have these walls that we think we have where your family member or friend can just suffer all alone and it doesn't impact you at all. That's not true. What I find is that even friends and family suffering impacts me, even if they're not physically close. It's as if we're all connected on some deep level, and the relationships we have are connected. It seems we're all connected on a telepathic level. Some human beings are aware of this, many are not. it feels very real in that sense with my wife that we don't have to talk about things often. We can simply read each other's minds and we're in sync. Now, sure, I can't read the exact colors she's thinking about, or I can't tell exactly the sentence she would use, but I can tell the intention behind it. And my wife can read me like a book, which was tough to get used to at first. That she could see right through all my crap. All my defenses, all my walls, all of my efforts to be alone and isolated. The most miserable I've been in my life is being alone and isolated. And a lot of us have been traumatized at birth. Apparently, these bodies are supposed to be in contact with another body for the first several months of existence. They're not supposed to be. They don't expect. The new babies don't expect to be stuck out on their own in a crib all by themselves or stuck in a stroller. The new babies expect, based on millions of years of evolution, that the new baby will be carried around by the mother all day, every day. And if the mom's busy, the baby will be passed to someone else. Often a child will carry around the baby. A lot of us have these deep-seated intimacy needs that we just missed out on. We were stuck in a crib off by ourselves or left in a car seat to cry or whatever it was. And a lot of us still have that same infant fear and feeling of being alone. I'm all alone now. My mother's left me. The world's left me. And I'm all alone crying in my car seat, my crib. No one cares about me. These things tend to come up in moments when it often doesn't make sense in the world practically. You might look at someone like me who just went out, well, I'm going back in time, into seven, 8 years ago. I just went out on these dates and I'm sitting there crying all alone at home, wondering if I'm ever going to meet anyone, feeling exactly like a baby left in a crib. Like a baby all alone, is my mom ever gonna come back and take care of me? A lot of us have been conditioned from our earliest experiences, and we essentially regress to that when we get upset. And I'm grateful today that I have some awareness to this, because then this all, everything makes a lot more sense. When I get to feeling alone, I have the tendency to want to regress back to being a baby. And then I don't have to put all these BS reasons on it. Well, he did this and she wasn't like that and blah, blah, blah. I can just continue going forward and understand that I have a reasonable feeling and continuing to go forward and understand that I alone am nothing. I do need, as an infant, my mother to come comfort me. At all times in my life, I need the love and support of other human beings. We come into this world needing to be constantly carried around and loved and touched and shown the world all day, every day. And we gradually get a little bit better if we successfully complete being able to experience the world in the loving arms of another, we then gradually get better at all these other phases of life. Lots of us deprived of some of these basic experiences essentially are trying to get these basic experiences fulfilled over and over again. And it helps to see that we're not alone, that we can't ever truly be alone, that the feeling of being alone is completely an illusion, that we're never really alone. And this, to me, helps a great responsibility, because as an alcoholic, I thought my drinking didn't really bother other people. I felt a lot of what I might imagine an infant would feel being carried around with his mother. When I drank, I felt like the world was okay, that I was safe and protected, that everything would be fine no matter what. Now, that's not how I felt all the time. Every time, I had lots of horrible experiences, but that's what the picture my mind essentially painted for me of that infant being carried around by his mother, that life is good. Life is as it should be. For me, I thought my drinking wasn't a big deal. Sure, I hurt myself with it, but so what? I'm alone anyway. Even when I was married, this feeling that I developed didn't go away of being alone. Just having a partner who loves you won't remove the feeling of being alone. That's an internal thing in my experience that must shift with my own self-awareness, with seeing that I'm not alone, regardless of all the other things in my life. With my drinking, the exit, you could say, and I don't have all of eternity guaranteed without a drink, that I today have a day off as long as I remember I'm not alone. Because when I'm alone, I want to drink. I want to feel better. That's what it does for me. And this is the same function pills fill for other people, or all kinds of other behaviors you can substitute, fills that void of feeling alone, or tries to and doesn't quite do it. The way having your mother carry you around in her arms, and a father can fulfill most all these roles as well. Being carried around and loved unconditionally and taken around and showing life. For me, as long as I felt like I was alone, I could never do anything about my drinking, because if you're alone, the only consideration is you. How do I want to feel right now? And if one moment I'm like, okay, I'm never going to drink again, and another moment I'd be like, well, I'm not feeling good, a drink will make me feel better. Without considering everyone else, it's impossible using your own self-will to accomplish anything. And this could be in any part of life. With your own self-will, it's impossible to truly get anything done. And how many times have we seen this? We go on a diet, but we're only thinking about ourselves. And as soon as we look better, we forget the diet. And then our eating takes back over and we look worse than when we started the diet. In any kind of health thing, this feeling of being alone will stop any progress. And any progress will be temporary. It will tend to just be set back again whenever something happens. Whatever the first excuse is. For me, whatever the first excuse for a drink was, whether I'd been sober a day, a week, a month, several months, whenever that first excuse came along and, whoop, I'm alone, I don't feel good, I'm going to drink because that's what I want to do. What helped for me was to see that I wasn't alone. The last time I tried to drink, I thought about what would my mother, how's this going to impact my mother? And that took the desire away. That made it not seem so attractive, because just poisoning myself, knocking my mind down, getting a few hours of relief, that seemed really attractive. But what's my mother going to think that her son's going to AA and now he's drinking again? What's my mother going to think? What's my wife going to think when she comes home and sees this mess? And I had never thought of those things when I was actually in the moment before. And I, even if the thought had crossed my mind, I would think something, oh, well, I'm alone, or they're not here to see. What difference does it make? They won't know. And these are the proof that being alone, you're nothing. I alone am nothing. I can't do anything. I can't accomplish anything alone. I can't be anything alone. About all I can do alone is self-destruction, but even that I need help with. There has to be a bridge that someone else built to jump off of, or a bottle of liquor that someone else made to drink. Even self-destruction I can't really do alone. I'm grateful today to remember I'm not alone. And sure, sometimes it can be harder to remember than others, but that's one of those fundamental things that I work on remembering and being conscious of every moment. When I'm not alone, I feel a responsibility if I'm hurting to get help, because I realize when I'm hurting and struggling, I hurt and share that with other people. A lot of us have these illusions that we're having a hard time and it doesn't impact other people. I'm impacted by all the other people's hard times in my life. I can tell you exactly who's having a hard time and lots of times how that impacts me. Well, this person has a hard time and they're closed up and they're acting like it's not affecting everyone else. And it hurts to be in their presence. It hurts to be in the, I'm very sensitive now, it hurts to be in the presence of another person who's in the middle of this pain and suffering and frustration. It hurts just to be near them. And that's why a lot of us tend to isolate. We figure, well, I don't want to hurt anyone else like I would. I don't want to hurt anyone else. I'll just stay by myself and drink. I'll numb the pain. I'm in horrible pain. I'll numb the pain with alcohol and stay by myself and drink, play a single player video game, and I won't bother anyone. It turns out we have connections that go beyond time and space. This is often obvious in a disaster. Like, I had a family member fall off their horse and nearly die. And even though I often wasn't able to talk to them, I was very much connected on a telepathic level. And the family member reported that often right when they were thinking of me, I would then call. And sometimes they couldn't answer the phone because they were in the hospital near death. And yet, there's a connection, and I was thinking about that family member a lot in the hospital, and I felt present with them. I didn't feel separate because they were in a hospital hundreds of miles away, unable to answer their phone. I felt very connected. We are not anything at all alone, which means we are everything in relation to other people. This is what motivates me to do everything I do today, to get down on my knees and pray to stay sober, because I realize there's huge consequences in other people's lives for what I do. One little stupid decision I make could impact a whole lot and hurt a whole lot of other people. I realize I have a horrible power to cause pain and suffering, everything's temporary, to cause temporary pain and suffering in the lives of other people. And I'm grateful for that today because I did not notice that for much of my life. I didn't see all the pain and suffering I was causing other people. Although on some deep level I was aware of it. And that's why I tried to, in believing I was alone, I tried to just fix the solution, numb the pain. Well, if I numb the pain in this body, no one else is suffering, right? My mom and dad, I wouldn't think that my mom and dad are sitting there worried, talking about what's going to happen to their son. I wouldn't think about that. Today I do think about stuff like that. When I do things, I think, what's my mother going to think? Or what I think about what other people in my life will think about things. And not in the sense of how they'll judge it, but how my behavior and what I do impacts them and that relationship. Because this then to me is ultimate happiness. A person who is aware that other people are everything has everything. And it's easy to be happy. It's easy to feel like life is good when I feel like I belong, when I'm connected with other people. Even when this body doesn't have any other bodies in the house with it, I don't feel alone right now. And that's why I can do these. Some people ask, how can you just sit there and talk to your camera all alone in your bedroom? I don't feel alone in here. I feel that I'm talking to you, even though in time that's absolutely not true. Even though at 9:10 a.m. on Saturday, April 8th, 2017, I absolutely am not talking to you right now. Although I could even argue with that. But let's just, for simplicity, there's no one in the world besides this body listening to this right now at this time. However, I feel you. I feel the reception of this message I'm sharing. I feel the you that I'm talking to. I feel that, and that's how I'm able to do this, because as far as I'm concerned, I am talking to you right now. You may hear me at a different time, but I'm talking to you right now. You are listening right now. As I'm talking, you are listening, because that's the only way it happens. So even though this is disconnected from the mind's point of view of time, once you look and see that time is just a delusion, that everything happens now, you can only listen to this now, then there's no need for you to be in the room with me when I'm making a recording, because I realize I'm still talking to you wherever you are. I'm very grateful to have this to share with you, as so many others have helped this body to have a wonderful life today. I seek to continue passing that message on, to share what I learn each day, to share the love I have for you as not separate from me. the love I have. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Love you as I would love myself. That's what helps me today to have a wonderful life where I'm not tempted every other minute to ruin things. And when temptation comes to end it all, to ruin it in one way or another, I think about everyone else and I recenter again. Thank you. I hope you have a wonderful day today. My exercise during day 149 of Happier People podcast is to remember, regardless of my surroundings, I am nothing alone. Thank you.